Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
You are now listening to the Prescription for Purpose podcast, the go-to destination for women who are tired of feeling burnt out and stuck in the exhausting cycle of doing but not thriving. Each week, we'll provide you with Christ-centered mental wellness prescriptions to help you reclaim your peace, renew your purpose, and live life spiritually well. And if you're a therapist or a coach, the tools and insights that we curate here will help you make a Christ-centered impact on your clients today. Are you ready, sis? Let's get started. Hey, friend, and welcome back to another episode of the Prescription for Purpose podcast. I pray that you are having an amazing, amazing day. I am so excited for this new series where we're going to be talking about how to recognize and repair communication breakdowns with God. This started out as a single lesson for my students, because I'm now teaching as an adjunct instructor about therapeutic communication, and it has now turned into a whole podcast series. And I'm really excited because I know that a lot of us find ourselves frustrated when we are trying to do all of the things that we know to do. I'm trying to pray, I'm trying to study, but we don't feel like we're hearing from God well. And when we look at this from a theological standpoint, meaning from the word, there's a lot of different ways in which our communication can be impacted, but there is a disconnect between how do I fix it? And my prayer is that over the series, we are able to address your concerns and you get the tools on how to fix it. Now, before we get started, I have a couple of church announcements. The first being that our Christian Therapy Blueprint book is now available for you to download. If you have the Spiritual Well app, this is a part of our toolkit that we have for you to find a therapist. However, I know that there are people all over who need access to the ability to learn what therapy is, the types of therapy, everything from the Ruta to the Tuta, as my granny used to say, is in this blueprint book from the spiritual aspect as well as the practical aspect. Things like red flags for therapists, questions to ask, does the Bible say that you should go to therapy? All of that information is in this guide. It is free for you to download. Please share it, use it, love it. I pray it blesses you. Thing two, if you have an Android, Google is officially reviewing the app. I almost said the podcast, girl. The app, as of yesterday, I think we went into the review process finally. And so my prayer is that by the end of the week, it is available to you. If you are a current app user, I know you see that we're doing some things in the background. I will give full detail as to how God is gathering me in the clear direction in the next coming weeks. I'm very excited. Go use all the new details and all the new things, including, okay, the entire audio Bible, so you can listen to the Bible while you sleep. Okay? Now, let's get into today's episode. So the first pillar that we're going to deal with is being able to receive. When you look at the communication theory that I was teaching in class to my students, okay, there are several parts within a communication loop. There is a sender, there's a message, there is a channel, okay, that's how the message moves through a channel. There's a receiver and there's feedback. Along all of these, if anything has an issue, if there is a break with the sender, with the receiver, with the feedback, then communication breaks down. And that's as deep as we're getting into this, but I just need you to know that there are all of these parts: sender, a message, a channel, a receiver, and feedback. And today, we are going to talk about the three conditions that make it hard for you to receive, not only in your relationship with people, but also in your relationship with God, for you to be able to hear what is being communicated. Because we have this level of frustration that causes us to then withdraw. Let's talk about the function of feelings, okay? Function of feelings, new segment alert. If you have ever been trying to communicate with the Lord and you feel like you can't, or that has been disrupted, you might likely feel a lot of frustration. Frustration at its core is when you get blocked from doing something important. So your brain and your body are like, hey girl, I'm trying stuff and it's not working. So if you are on a meeting and your Wi-Fi signal drops, or if you're like me, you're in the middle of recording your podcast and then it messes up and you have to start all over, literally just happened, you then find yourself in a place where you are frustrated. And we have to remember that every feeling has a function. Feelings all by themselves are neutral. There's no such thing as a good feeling or a bad feeling. Okay? Feelings are a signal and they serve a function. So when you find yourself feeling frustrated, your body is saying, hey girl, I'm trying to do something that's important to me and there's something in the way. Now, what's important is how you respond. Okay? When you respond in a way that is negative, that's why the Bible says be angry. Anger is a feeling, it's neutral, but sin not. Your response matters. When we feel frustration, a lot of us either go hard where we're striving, we're forcing stuff, we're trying to do whatever it takes, or you will pull back or you procrastinate, you shut down because you're like, I'm not doing this. Neither one of those responses actually address the block. And that's why you get so frustrated in your communication with God. You're praying, you're journaling, you're like, I'm going to church, I'm going to Bible study. And you like, Lord, I don't know if y'all up there doing the everybody on mute challenge. Like, I don't know what's happening, but I don't feel like you're talking to me. Okay. I'm putting in the effort, but the outcome still feels blocked. That is where you find yourself. Now, here's the good news. When we talk about this frustration, I need you to know that it's not God ignoring you. It's just simply a sign that somewhere in the loop, that connection has been broken down. And so we are going to talk about first how you as the receiver can have these breakdowns or these conditions that make it hard for you to hear God. And I'm going to tell you how we can start doing some things to fix it so you can move past the frustration and you can start finding a place of clarity. You can start building trust with God and building better intimacy with God. Anytime you are communicating, even as I'm communicating to you right now, the receiver, you, okay, everything hinges on you. I can have a crystal clear message. My message could be strong, okay? The audio is audioing, so the channel is working perfectly. But if you as the receiver are not ready, then the entire conversation breaks down before the loop even gets closed good. We have to understand that being a receiver or receiving something is not passive. When you look at this from the research, they talk about how when you are a receiver, it's never from a neutral position. Every word that you hear, it gets filtered through your emotions, through your past experiences, through your stress levels, and what you already believe to be true. So that means even as you're listening to me right now, if you feel like you think you know what I'm about to say, If you feel like you've heard this already, if you feel like the scripture references that I use, you know that story. If you feel like you have all of that, you're not going to hear, or it's going to impact negatively how you hear what I'm saying. Right now in this moment, you are filtering what I'm saying to you through all of these other things. You're deciding what part is hitting for you. You're deciding what part you want to push back on. You're deciding on what part you want to hold on to for later. And that's why two people can sit in the same room and hear the same exact message, but then walk away with two completely different understandings. Someone may be feeling encouraged and the other person feels attacked. Somebody feels corrected, the other person feels rejected. The difference isn't in the sender or the message. The difference is in the state of the receiver. And when the receiver isn't ready, there is a communication loop breakdown. The message isn't going to hit. There's not going to be any feedback. And then that relationship will eventually start to feel strained. Like if you've ever poured your whole heart out to somebody, okay, you telling them everything and they are either distracted or they get defensive. Girl, don't worry about me. I'll never talk to you again. Now, is that Christ-like? Maybe not. But that's my first. Like, girl, it won't happen again. Right? We've all been there. Because it's more than just the fact that you missed the message. It's, oh, you're not safe. I can't trust you. There's no connection here. And it eventually creates distance. And then over time, those breakdowns are not just about people not physically hearing your words. They erode trust and intimacy. This is why, like, you know, when you have your cell phone, if the reception is bad, the person on the other end could be having a whole conversation. They have no idea that your reception is not good, but all you hear is every other word. The problem has nothing to do with them not speaking. The problem is that the signal couldn't get through. And this happens to us as people when our reception gets poor. We have things like selective attention. We get defensive. We are distracted. And when someone is sending a message, it can be perfectly clear. But if your reception is poor, you're not going to hear. And then over time, you get frustrated and now there's distance. In the same way that that happens in a human relationship, it happens in our relationship with God when our hearts are not ready to receive. And what's even more wild, okay, as I started to think about this, what's even more wild is Jesus was well aware of the importance of receivers. And so as he would teach over and over in the Bible, you hear him say, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. This does not mean that people were walking around without physical ears attached to their bodies. It was an exhortation. It was a warning. Because you can sit in the crowd and you can hear the sound of his words. But if your heart was dull, if you were not ready to receive, you weren't going to catch it, friend. And Isaiah said the same thing. People hear with their ears, but their hearts grow dull. That tells us that your ears and your heart are always connected. It's not just about sound waves hitting your eardrum and your eustachian tube, and I could bore you with all the anatomy. It's not just about that. It is about being in a posture to be ready to receive. Jesus saying, hey, girl, make sure you got good storage on your phone, good Wi-Fi before you try to download this. Because if not, it's not going to work. And so what we're going to do is we are going to look at these conditions and we're going to talk about a passage that may be familiar to you. But I'm telling you, friend, lock in, because if you are serious about wanting being a better steward and wanting to hear from God clearly, you need to circle this back. Okay, I'm going to read Mark 4, which is the parable of the farmer scattering seed. And I'm reading from the NLT version of the Bible. It says, once again, Jesus began teaching by the lakeshore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat for a while, and all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling them stories in the form of parables such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant seed. He scattered it across his field. Some of the seed fell on a footpath and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on the shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as what had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And that's Mark 4, verses 1 through 9. I know that you're like, girl, I think I know this story. I heard this parable. Okay, lock in. The first condition that keeps you from hearing from God is when you default to defensive mechanisms. If you default to defense mechanisms, not even just in your communication with God, but in with people, you are not going to be able to receive. One of the clearest signs of poor reception is when you default to a defense mechanism. Defense mechanisms, or cognitive defensiveness, is something that our brains do naturally. It's when our brains work overtime to try to protect us from letting a message land the way it's supposed to. Okay, you have experienced this in relationships. You've seen someone try to get feedback. And so instead of listening, you start to explain, or you start to deflect, or you start to shut down. Okay, and then the other person walks away feeling unheard. And then that relationship begins to suffer because that defensiveness blocks intimacy. The same thing happens in our relationship with God. When he brings his word, and when that word comes close, okay, because it's a double-edged sword, it's sharper than a two-edged sword, friend. When that word comes close to something that is sensitive to us, shame, pride, fear, money, relationships, premarital sex, stuff that you like, I like this, but I don't believe that. That right there, when the word starts tap dancing on things that are sensitive to you, then your heart will go into defense mode. And so instead of receiving God's counsel or his correction, we start to rationalize it away and we tell ourselves that this doesn't apply to me. But the problem is that the very mechanism that we use to try to protect ourselves ends up muting God's voice and creating distance in the relationship. Okay? We heard what Jesus said. The seed gets scattered. And immediately it gets snatched away. This is when a receiver is not open at all to what is being said. When we talk about that communication loop, the message is being sent, but it bounces, baby, it's green bubble, okay? Green text bubble, blocked. This is something that is called defensive filtering. Okay, when something feels threatening to your identity, to your ego, to your sense of safety, your brain deflects it before it even registers good. Think about the last time you tried to give somebody constructive feedback, and instead of absorbing it, they just try to tune you out, even though your message was clear. If you have someone who is in a position where they're always defensive and their heart is hardened, there is a level of pain that has to be addressed so they can have a heart that is tender, right? David talks about like creating me a new heart. That there's a scripture that talks about giving me a heart of flesh and trading my heart of stone for a heart of flesh. So if you are resonating with knowing like, yeah, no, my heart is hard in this area, there's a level of pain that we have to deal with. If you've been hurt before, if you've built walls, you have built your own strong tower, your own refuge to try to keep from feeling that level of pain again, but it is robbing you from being able to run to God as your refuge, to hear from him and to allow him to really mend your heart back together. Because the issue with them walls that you build in, they don't keep out pain all by themselves. They block out pain. It blocks out truth. It blocks out love. It blocks out correction. It blocks out intimacy with the Father. So you're not just keeping and protecting yourself from pain. We have to make sure that we understand that we need to not have a defensive posture when we're asking God to respond to us. You asking God to give you an answer, but your mind is already made up. And then things that don't align with what you think God would say, you start rebuking it. Hello, somebody. Jesus said that the word hits, but Satan snatches it up before it can even sink in good. Think about that in a spiritual sense. The enemy's going to exploit your defensiveness. He's going to convince you that God's word is too harsh. He's going to convince you that it don't take all that, that you're being too unrealistic, that it's not for you. And so instead of you letting it take root, you then rationalize it away or you reject it completely. And then that intimacy with God gets stalled out because you didn't hit the mute button on him. You didn't hit the mute button. So if this resonates with you, I want you to go over to Ezekiel 36. And I need you to really study what the word is saying about giving a new heart of flesh. It's not about willpower. But we're asking God to do a work in us to where we can become more tender. I want you to sit down and I want you to write out all of your pains, your hurts, the beefs that you have with God, because that's really what it's about. He didn't come through. You were disappointed. Write out your grievances and take them to the Lord. The Bible talks about if you will humble yourself. If you will humble yourself, if you seek his face, if you will lament, if you'll cry out, he will heal you. And then when you start to study the word, if you find something rising up in you to where you feel like that I got beef with that a little bit, get curious about that. The antidote for defensiveness is to be curious. What if that's true? What if I am mean? It ain't got nothing to do with the month that you were born in, girl. You are a child of God. Them stars ain't telling you how to behave. What that got to do with your behavior? Are you a new creature in Christ or not? What's your birthday got to do with this? Nothing. I love you. It's demonic. Stop. You a new creature in Christ. What if it is true that you are rude? You're not just being honest, you're being rude. You can be stating facts, but truth without love is just rude. Once you start getting curious, then your brain can start to really process. This is how you're going to be able to move past having a default to being defensive. Look at it from a place of curiosity. Ask God to soften your heart. Go reconcile those areas where you have beef. The next thing that is stopping you from being able to hear from God is shallow processing. Shallow processing means that we handle information at a surface level. So you can recognize it, you may be able to react to it, but it doesn't really get encoded or ingrained into your memory, and it does not get integrated into your behavior. You have seen this in real life. People are like, "Ooh, girl, that's so good." And you still doing the same stuff. How good was it? How good was it? Nothing has changed. There is a level of processing that has to take place. And this happens in our relationship with God. We get excited. We get in his word. We cry. We shout. You journal. Friends, something that stresses me out in my quiet time is when I'm trying to highlight something in the book of Joshua, but somehow the ink ends up in the book of Revelation, and the Lord has supplied a solution, Mr. Pen. Mr. Pen is an amazing company that was started by Christian teachers in Louisiana, and girl, you can tell, these Bible study supplies are phenomenal. I have the Bible journaling kit. I also got the Bible study sticky notes and the tabs, and girl, they are everything I need and more. And you need it too, friend. The Bible study kit has highlighters that do not bleed through my Bible. I only want Christ to bleed for me. I don't need the highlighters to do the same. And Mr. Pen has figured out the solution. It has pens, highlighters. It has stickers for prophecies, themes. Like, it is literally everything. And because teachers are teachers, it has a bag to put all of my supplies in. I am in love. The Bible study sticky tabs have dates for me to hold myself accountable to memorizing my verses. So I'm not just sitting there staring at them, but I'm able to continue to really progress in learning the word and keeping it in my heart. And I am in love. They even have custom products for churches, schools, conferences. They sell school supplies. They have Bibles. Everything that you need is over at Mr. Pen. So whether you're upgrading your own quiet time or you want to gift for a friend, Mr. Pen is the move. I need you to shop the best Bible journaling supplies on the market and fantastic gifts for the ladies in your life at MrPen.com. That's MRPEN.com. And guess what? Our audience gets a special discount. Use the code PURPOSE10 at checkout to get 10% off of your entire order today. That is MrPen.com and use the code PURPOSE10 at checkout to get 10% off of your entire order today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You at the conference laid out and nothing takes root. And then that first wave of stress hits. And then we realize how shallow that word was because you was laid out on the floor on Thursday at the conference. And on Monday, you don't know if God loves you again. What happened? Did it take root, friend? Did you really allow God to communicate to you in a way that it is now integrated into your life? We have to stop confusing being emotionally moved with being spiritually transformed. That's that shallow processing. Because the loop falls apart the minute it gets hot. That means that the message has come in, you've received it, you got some emotion, some agreement from it, but then because the processing is shallow, it is not fully integrated. So when the pressure comes, intimacy collapses. Psychologists oftentimes talk about something called fluency illusion. And you may have not ever heard this, but you have felt it. This is when something feels familiar or like it's coming along and you feel like you've mastered it real good. Like you are reading and re-highlighting and doing all the things. You hear a sermon and it sounds really clear and you're nodding and you're smiling and it feels good and you haven't done anything with the information. You can be familiar, but you have not been transformed. The familiarity tricks you into thinking that you have grown even when nothing has changed. That's why you can't ever get familiar with passages of scripture. You could have heard, oh, she's talking about the scattered seed. I know. But do you? Because when you deal with fluency illusion, it wasn't until I studied this from this perspective that I said, oh, God, this applies to so much more in so many different ways. Like our communication and our ability to be able to talk to you. this ain't nothing but the seed that land. Everybody hallelujah, amen. And then I don't know if God love me again. What part of that did we not communicate? He has said it. He's shown it. So now it's a receiving end issue. Then we talk about something called stress fragility. Okay? If something has not grown good roots, if it has not grown deep, it's not going to survive under pressure. So if you're cramming for a test, you can repeat the answers the next day, right? But the moment stress shows up, it's gone. I can tell you right now, let somebody fall out. I know exactly what to do. I'm gonna check a pulse. Hey, scene is safe. Hey, are you okay? I'm gonna start doing BLS training. Why? Because I understand. I not only know the steps, but I understand why it's important. I need to make sure I'm safe, they're safe. I need to make sure that somebody's going to get help. Right? We understand that. And so when situations are tight, I can still do it because it's ingrained in how I behave and how I respond. But when there is stress fragility, when you're not spending enough time in the word, when you allow someone to speak something into you and over you, but you don't allow it to really transform you, the minute that you are under pressure, you're questioning everything all over again. So you receive the word of God with joy, but then it stays on the surface. And so when there is conflict, when there is temptation, when there is disappointment, it just gets wiped out like a tsunami. And when we talk about this from a perspective of communicating with other people, that shallow processing, it breaks trust. And when we talk about it with our relationship with God, it is distorting our ability to hear. It's breaking intimacy. And it's hard for you to trust somebody when you don't really stand on what they say. God's, the quality of his word doesn't change. He said, my word will never return void. I'm not a man, so I cannot lie. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. All of this part of the loop, his part of the communication loop on lock. It's us. We have to make sure that I really want to hear from God. I'm not being defensive. And then when I get a word, I don't just have information, but I make room for transformation. Jesus makes it very clear. It's okay to have joy. Joy is not the problem. You not having no roots is the problem. Okay, you ain't got no edges. Okay? You don't have good roots. Because God's word can stir you, but unless you allow it to go deep, it is not going to sustain you. I can feel a stirring in my spirit, but can you stir it up when you're in the middle of a struggle? Y'all hear me all the time. I'm like, oh, there's that one scripture. It says this in the Bible. I may not always know the exact location, but baby, I know it. I could memorize the location, but I focus on integration. I need that to get into my heart and into my soul. Am I practicing that? Because when we experience trial and tribulation, when we're in a critical situation, your ears need to be attuned to what's going on. And it's hard for you to hear from God when you don't have any idea of what his voice sounds like. When we only know it from listening to Charlotte talk on the podcast. When you only know it from listening to your pastor and you're not getting into the word for yourself. The trials and the tribulation is how you know that the word is tested. That's what builds truth, connection, trust. That's how faith has its perfect work. That's in James. It reveals how deeply it was actually received. We're told in Colossians to be rooted and built up in him. In Psalm, it talks about us being planted by trees by the living water. So are we planted or are we dealing with shallow processing? Because that's going to keep us in a place where we are in this immature space and we're not becoming mature believers. So we're not going to have ears to hear. You being stirred up, but nothing is sustaining you. And if you resonate with this, if you know that this is something that you struggle with, I want you to pray for endurance. Okay. Go study James 1 verses 2 through 4. Don't ask God to just take the situation away. He ain't. Okay. I told y'all I lived through a time the last 18 months, but through it, I have been able to do some on the job training where I've been able to hold God to his word. He's undefeated. That level of knowledge is how you are able to get more clear, more intimate, and you are able to hear from God directly. If you struggle with this, if you struggle with the word not really hitting for you, here's something that we do in nursing that I want you to do. Teach it to somebody else. If you can, study something and then do a teach back. We call it a return demonstration. If I'm discharging you and I'm showing you how to use an asthma inhaler, and I say, I put it all back together and I say, okay, now if you were showing me how to do this, what would you do? That is called a return demonstration. That's called a teach back. In your own words, if you can't explain it and explain why it's important and how it's going to impact me and what you would do here and there, then that means we have more work to do yet. So don't pick up another book. Don't move to another scripture to say that you're accumulating this stuff. If you actually have the Spiritual Well app and you go to the Bible Study Hub, I have this built in to the hub. The last part of you walking through it, I tell you, hey, record this audio and send it to somebody else about what you learned in your study time today. Why? Because I want you to be able to integrate this and not just be like, ooh, girl, this was so good. I want you to be able to integrate it. You should be able to know deep down on the inside and be able to put it to work. That's how we deal with shallow processing. And then the last is being divided by distractions. If you are divided by distractions, it's going to be very hard for you to hear. Distraction is when your attention is split by competing inputs. So technically, like, I'm here, but like my brain is all over the place. Your brain is constantly shifting from what matters most to what feels most urgent. So we've all talked to somebody and they half listening. And they scroll it on the phone. They hear your words, but they don't hear you. You're listening, but do you hear me though? Okay. And then over time, that fractured attention, it makes the relationship feel unimportant. It makes it feel like they don't care. And the same thing happens in our communication with God. God's word may reach us, whether it be via podcast, a sermon, a lesson, something your grandmama said that ain't, it's not even really scripture, but it'll point you back. Through you teaching in class about a communication loop and you thinking about the word because the Lord is like, hey, girl, I need you to teach this. Child, listen, he's trying to reach us. But then the noise of life, anxieties, ambition, responsibilities, desires, they pile up on top and they suffocate what God said. They choke it out like the thorns. It's not that God did not speak. It's that we allowed other voices to choke out his voice until it loses priority. So the message gets sent, right? But when we talk about a channel, the means by which a message gets disseminated or sent out, there's competition. Because the Holy Spirit is the messenger who delivers the word of God to us. That is the channel. Okay. There's MTV, BET, and Holy Spirit. Okay. Like the Holy Spirit is the messenger that delivers the word of God in revelation and intercedes. In constant distraction, it doesn't make us busy. It quenches the spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. So now the message keeps getting interrupted mid-transmission. So the word is present, but there's no feedback because you're not getting the full message. And there's just intimacy that is suffering as the result. And I want to really make sure that we understand the distinction, because there's a distinction between distraction and overload. Both of them will choke out your ability to hear. Okay. Every breakdown may not feel the same. Okay. Sometimes it's cognitive overload. That means that you are maxed out. You have taken in too much, and even good stuff cannot be processed. That feels like fog. You're tired. Nothing is sticking. You feel blank in your mind. And then there's also distraction. Your system isn't maxed out. Your system is split up, divided into too many parts. Too many things are pulling you. Nothing's getting your full attention. So now you feel restless and you feel scattered and you feel pulled in five different directions and you cannot prioritize. Both overload and distraction block intimacy and can keep you from hearing. Overload keeps the word from sinking in. Distraction keeps the word from staying as the central theme. Psychologists call that like leftover pull. It calls it attention residue. So even when you turn toward God, part of your focus is still lingering on the last thing. That's why your prayers feel scattered. That's why your study time ain't hitting. That's why your worship ain't giving what it's supposed to. It has nothing to do with God not speaking to you. It is your attention being fragmented. Jesus talks about this in Mark 4. He said, them thorns choked that word until it became unfruitful. That seed, there was no fruit. The seed was there, but the fruit never showed up because of the competing desires that were draining the soil. Think about Philippians 4 and 6, where Paul talks about be anxious for nothing. When you study that word in the Greek, that word anxious means to be pulled apart, distracted, fragmented. It's not talking about generalized anxiety disorder. It's talking about being pulled apart, distracted, fragmented. Anxiety is just distraction in motion, just splitting you every which way until God's voice is completely drowned out. And so then the consequence is then fruitlessness. The consequence of distraction is fruitlessness. The consequence of being overloaded is honestly forgetfulness. And either way, there's a breakdown because you're fractured. So when we talk about addressing this, and how to repair the loop, I want you to take the time this week to reorder your affections. Like, what is important? Everything is not a priority. Balance is not a real thing. Balance means everything weighs the same. I want you to know, if it came down to my family or that job, I'm gonna be with my family. See, that requires us to make some decisions, and there's a cost that we have to count to the stuff that we're doing. So reorder your affections. We will have to put some prioritization skills to work. I need you to understand that a lot of times distraction is not just because you're trying to do too much. Sometimes it's just a matter of you have not sat down to realign your priorities. Ask yourself, what has been getting more mental energy than God? Ask yourself, what am I trying to sustain in my own strength? Ask yourself, what is God pruning in this season that I have not allowed to get cut? And then I want you to start practicing redirecting your attention back to God. We do this thing where we get so busy, and the first thing that goes is our quiet time with God. Girl, how everything else flows from that? How much of a priority is that if that's the first thing that makes it on the chopping block? And I'm not saying that to condemn you. I've found myself doing that before. But how? If he is the priority as we say that he is. And then I want you to set some time to start practicing some blocks of focus. Something that I'm working on right now is I am working on not multitasking. As somebody who has ADHD, that's a stretch. I'm leaning fully on the Lord to exercise the fruit of self-control. To work on one thing at a time. Set some focus blocks. Put your phone down. Close every tab except for the one that you're working on, and start training your attention to be able to sustain for longer than 30 seconds. Because that's how we are going to be able to train our brain. So when the Lord needs to speak to us, because I got up at 5:30 this morning and been talking to him all day. And it has turned into, like, he's always speaking. He always has a lot to say. He always reveals so much to me. And it's not just me. He's always speaking. He's no respecter of person. We just have to make the time. When we talk about being ready to receive and dealing with these conditions that keep us from hearing the Lord, we have to first remember, right? The whole point of this parable, and why I love this parable, is that Jesus was teaching us how communication with God works. He is not vague about why some people hear and some people don't. He said, listen, it's going to be some breakdowns, so you got to evaluate where the intimacy is being blocked. That all by itself is the grace of God. That is the generosity of God. Jesus is very clear. He's very clear. He wants to speak with us. He wants to commune with us. The Father wants to speak with us, commune with us. That's why he sent Jesus after the garden. And then Jesus was like, let me give y'all some language so you understand that if you feel like you can't hear me, let's make sure your phone good, okay? Can you hear me now? Good. He gave us the language to be able to see these obstacles. And what's even more wonderful about God, specifically what's more wonderful about Jesus, okay? Jesus is the Word. Come on, because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and he was God. That's Christ. Jesus himself is the Word, that seed that has been scattered. It's him. So he wasn't just giving us a parable about communication. Baby, he is the message and the messenger. Then gave us Holy Spirit, who carries his word to us. And then the Father do all the work that he, come on now, vineyard, fruitful. Don't get me going. So we have to make sure, like when the Bible says in Proverbs to guard your heart, like make sure that you guard in that communication loop. Like you got that password on your phone, friend. Okay. Guard it like that toxic man who will not pass the phone to you. That's how much your communication with the Lord needs to be intact. That's how much we need to keep that intimacy alive. We're not just guarding a principle. We are guarding intimacy with Christ. He is the Word. So as we close, I want to ask you, where is the loop breaking down for you? Is it defensiveness that's blocking a message? Is it shallow processing to where you're not allowing it to take root? I literally have a tool in the app. Go to the Bible Study Hub, walk through your study time. Do the tools, do the things, record what you learn and send it to a friend. There's always a method to my madness, friend. If you are dealing with shallow processing, there's no reason. Are you allowing distractions to choke you out? Whatever you identify, okay, this is not condemnation. Y'all know God reveals so he can heal. I need you to understand. Once you know where the breakdown is, you can start allowing God to repair and you can partner with him to do the work. God wants to speak to you, friend. He loves you real bad, just like he loved me. That's why Jesus came and died and he rose on the third day. That is the promise of good soil. That when you let Jesus come on in and we hear from him on the regular and not just occasionally, then you'll learn how to hear from him consistently. You're not just going to feel all stirred up. You're going to grow in trust. You're not just going to pray words. You are going to be able to have the authority and the power to speak things that are so. When I get on this podcast, I know that I can stand 10 toes down in this lesson. And it ain't got nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with my ability to be able to read the text. You want to know why I know? Because I'm not standing on my words, baby. I'm standing on his word. It never returns back to him void. I can get on this microphone and say what it is I need to say with the authority, not because me, child, I just took my bottom off not too long ago. I can stand on it because it's his word. And he has already communicated it. And all I'm doing right now, friend, is a teach back. Huh? That's all this is. That's all this whole podcast brand, my life, it's just a teach back. Okay, friend, I love you real bad. God loves you more. Download the links, do the things. I'll talk to you next week, girl. Bye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow and Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.